The name of this meeting is Uncensored. And when I saw it, I said, you are looking for my trouble.
I think the first mistake that most single people make is the fact that they don't build on the right foundation. That's the first mistake. And that's what most single people do. They plan a marriage that will be bigger than the character that they are building today. They plan a marriage that they have not prepared or they haven't built death for. I noticed that when Jesus was talking about foundation, when he was talking about building a house, he said there's something you must build on. He said, that thing you must build on is the rock, and that's the word. So the word must be the foundation for everything that you do. Now, if you are building a regular marriage, you don't need a word foundation. But if you are building a kingdom marriage, then you need a very deep, strong word foundation. There are principles to kingdom marriage. There's a way God expects us, because we're not from this world. We're from a different kingdom. I mean, supernatural life, you should know that. I know you're well taught, so I know you know that this is not our home. We're just ambassadors here. We're here for a season. Jesus will soon come and take us and we'll go to our kingdom. But there's a way we must live while we're ambassadors here. Because you are here doesn't mean you should forget the kingdom you're coming from. There's a way we do marriage in the kingdom. And it must be based on the word of God. The Message translation, Jesus speaking. He said, these words that I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. He said, no home improvements, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. He said, they are foundational words. Words to build a life on. He says, if you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. He says, rain poured, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. Why? Because it was fixed to the rock. He says, but if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, he says, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. And when the storm rolled in and the waves came, he says, it collapsed like a house of cards. This Bible that you carry about, if you carry it about, or the Bible in your phones, is not for decoration. It's for living. It's for life. Everything that concerns your life is already in the word. I was reading the word, just reading the word, you know, just studying the word. And then I noticed the scripture. I was reading about the woman at the well with Jesus. And then where Jesus said to her, if you knew the person that was talking to you, ask him for water. And she said, okay, give me this water so that I will not thirst again. And then Jesus said, go and call your husband. And she said, I don't have any husband. And Jesus said, you have rightfully said, for the man that you're with is not your husband. And it was as if somebody used a highlighter pen and marked that part from the Bible for me. And it just jumped at me. I knew God was telling me clearly that this is your 5-year relationship. This man you are with is not your husband. If you continue on this path, you're on your own, no? Now, am I saying that there's one person for, I mean, only one person for you? No. But I'm saying that God can lead you accurately to show you his perfect will for your life at that time in your life. And so when I saw that thing, it jumped at me. But I told God something. I said, the same way you told me who my husband is not is the way you would tell me who my husband is. Many months later, I was reading the Bible. By that time, I'd met Pastor K. We had become friends. That relationship had ended. Like I said, I don't want to bore you with the details. And then I met Unatu like Jesus. Somebody say, boss. What are you, bold? Boss. I'm not boring you. That's not what we came for. So Pascal and I become friends. I want to set somebody free today because I know that there's somebody in that relationship. And God is saying, leave that guy. Say, I've been with him 2 years. I was with my own 5 years. We did introduction. Parents have met. When God says no, you better carry your bag and run. And so I was reading the Bible again, and I read where Samuel was going to anoint the next king. And he got to Jesse's house, and he saw Eliab, and he saw all the other brothers, and God said, no, these are not the ones. And then he said, do you have any other? And they said, yes, there remaineth one. He's the youngest, and he's taking care of the sheep. And when they brought him, Samuel said, arise, anoint him, for he's the one. That same thing that happened again. And then the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, what position is Kingsley? I said, he's the youngest. He said, what do pastors do? I said, they take care of the sheep. He said, arise, anoint him, for he's the one. That's how I knew who my husband was. Simple and clear. See, there's a way you will walk with God. Your life will be a wonder to many people. Not because you are a superstar. Not because you are doing anything special. But because God is still alive and he's still speaking. The mistake we have made is we're going to think that God is a figment of our imagination, that he's not real. And it's the world that's making us think that. Because they are sending out things in our space that is reducing our divinity. It's making us forget that we are first spirit beings, that we do not have spirits. We are spirits. So God speaks to us spirit to spirit. That's not what I came to teach today, but I don't know why I just feel a pull in that direction. And many, I can show you many other things. When I was trusting God for children, I didn't have my first biological child until about 8 years into my marriage. When I was trusting God for children, I was running helter to skelter, before I scattered English, helter skelter. So I was running up and down, basically. And going from one doctor to the other. And then there was this doctor who was, they told me he's a Christian. He will even give you confessions. He will teach you different things. So I went with my friend. The man told me, come back and we'll do a test with you. I don't want to bore you, honestly. I have many stories I don't want to bore you with. And so somebody just hissed. And so I went to see, the friend that took me to the doctor, I went to see her a few days to the day I was supposed to go back for my final test. So I met a woman there. And so we're talking about David, and she said something about Davida. And I said, oh, that's my children's name that I'm believing for, twins, David and Davida. She said, oh, those are our children's names. I said, oh, I'm going to sow into your life, but I'm really believing for twins. She smiled. So I was going to my car. I just told my friend, bye-bye. So she said she walked me to my car. So I was going to my car. She now said, you don't know that woman. I said, no, no. He said, you don't know that woman. I said, no, no, I'm who she be? Say, that's your doctor's wife. I said, are you serious? My doctor has David and Davida. She said, get with him. Person where they talk faith. She not get picking. And so God said to me, he said, why won't you let me help you? The person you are running to is looking for the exact same thing. At that exact moment, this scripture dropped into my heart. Isaiah 30 from verse 15, a Message translation. It says, God, the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourself. It's in the Bible, though. Somebody think I'm 4 minutes. It's there. He said, your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. Then I knew that this thing, it has passed running from one doctor to the other. I sat down with the word. Today I have 3 children. From the word. From the word. So I'm telling you that if you can build your life on the word of God, if you can dig your foundation based on the word, listen, there's nothing God tells you to do in marriage that he hasn't already told you to do as a single person. As a Christian, if you want to have a good marriage, let me tell you, be a good Christian. Forget all these things people are telling you. I know compatibility is important. I know understand your personality is important. I know knowledge. If you are a good Christian, you have a good marriage. Why? Because you will be led by the Spirit of God. The same character that you need to develop in marriage as a normal good Christian. If you develop it, you won't have problem. He said, love your enemy. Is it now the man that you are in love with that you will not now love? If as a Christian, normal Christian, not boyfriend, girlfriend, as a normal Christian, you just choose to be a lover, like Jesus said, be patient with people, be kind to people, don't keep records of wrong. If people offend you, forgive them and let it go. If you do all these things, it will not be hard in marriage. Because you know marriage is actually about 2 people daily choosing to forgive each other. Oh, you think that when you get married, it's just love. We love each other. I love him, so I will not be angry. No. He will offend you. Pastor K offends me daily. It's like, give us our daily bread. Offend me daily. That's how it is. And I offend him daily. Maybe I don't offend him. I annoy him daily. Because I'm sweet. Do I offend you? Somebody's on a daily. But we choose to forgive. We choose to walk in love. Why is it easy for me? Because these are things I've been doing as a Christian before I got married. It's not because I now fell in love or I'm growing in love, whichever term you choose, that I'm now saying, oh, it doesn't annoy. No. Your husband will annoy you But you see, in the kingdom, we have been trained to forgive. We have been trained to be patient. We have been trained to be kind. What does kindness mean? Kindness means that you are giving somebody something they don't deserve. You're not kind to someone unless they do not deserve kindness. That's real kindness. And God is saying, if you can do that, then marriage will be easy for you. He says, be slow to speak. If you learn it now, inside marriage, you won't need to learn it. Be quick to hear. Be slow to anger. If you can control yourself now, even when it says, talks about the fruits of the Spirit, having self-control. Do you know marriage does not improve your self-control? Oh, it doesn't. A lot of people think that when they get married, so you can't control yourself sexually now. You think that when you get married, I will have one person I'm sleeping with. I'm not going to cheat. You are a joker. I'm just calculating the amount we should pay you for your comedy show. Marriage does not change anybody. Marriage amplifies things, but it does not change anybody. You don't, because you are now married, you don't change from lizard to crocodile. If you are married and you are a lizard, you remain what? A married lizard. All it does is shows that you are now married. That's all that changes. So when I hear men especially, they say, don't worry, when I marry, I go change. Are you joking? You are just, if you are fornicating now, you are training yourself for adultery. You are just, if you are single and you are fornicating, you are an adultery trainee. That's all it is. So marriage does not change anybody. So when God says start the foundation, the Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You always have to go down to the roots. Let me tell you, most of the marriages that have problems today, it is not in marriage that they have problem. It is from the single, the relationship. Just this weekend. See, I've been, maybe not as long as Pastor K, but at least I've been a counselor for 16 years now. And most of the time when people come into counseling sessions, when I ask them, this thing that you're complaining about, was it there before marriage? Is that was it, yes, see, yes or no? Was it there before marriage? They say, yes, but you know, I thought I could change. You can't change anybody. The sooner you realize that, the better for you. You cannot change anybody. If somebody is showing you signs when you are single, let me tell you, it will be amplified in marriage. I've seen so many girls. They will be with a guy who is cheating now. And they will tell you that, don't worry, I'm the one that will win when he marries me. See, you are not the one. And he can do anything he wants to do as far as he comes home to you. With what? With HIV. Comes home to you with what? You know, women sometimes make me laugh. We're fighting over men who are not worth fighting for. You will be killing yourself over someone who is not killing himself for you. Men never do it. Men never. Men always choose themselves. Never. Women will see a man cheating on them, beating them, taking their money, doing all kinds of crazy things, and the woman will say, I'm sent to him. Ask what? The Holy Ghost? Don't be only help me, I help fish. Jesus said, pay attention. Pay attention. The foundation is everything. I've not seen a marriage that has problems that it didn't start from the foundation. It's always a foundational problem. It's always there. If you check very well, it's always there. Always. There's one particular woman that I'm still talking to today. Her husband, there was one day her husband beat her, used plastic chair, scattered it on her body. When you were dating, was he beating you? Yes, but when he's angry, he hits the wall. So you see, the problem now is that when there's no wall, Lunko, what will he hit? Because he has been trained to hit something. He hasn't been taught that you have a problem, sir, that the Holy Ghost has to fix for you on your own, not with me in the vicinity. Ma, you don't understand. I'm the one that made him lose his temper. Must he find it on you? Must the temper that you made him lose, must he find it on you? Beat you blue and black like you don't have parents. And you are okay with that. forgetting that you are sinning against God because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You carry that temple to be beaten and battered. And I'm not saying that there are no men that they don't beat so, because men don't used to talk their own. If they are beating you, uncle, walk away, sir. It's not really hard like that. You don't even have to tell anybody why you walked away. Just say, I wasn't feeling the girl anymore. I wasn't feeling her. Be going before they kill you for your father. Okay. So the first mistake is foundation. Foundation. It's always foundational. Say, who wants to build a house and you will not count the cost? Count the cost. If you are doing kingdom marriage, then you have to know that this thing is not going to always be easy. It also means that you don't get to walk away. Any small thing, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm not even going to say what I always say, but I will say it. Food will never put for fire. I say, done. What are you done? I don't want to go there. I don't want to fight today. I came to be gentle today. I'm not even in the mood to fight. Second mistake, not getting counsel. You see this, I know it all generation. It will be the undoing of many marriages. And I believe that this is my work. You see, this is my work as marriage counselor. It's now, eh? I go hammer this generation. I go hammer for on our head. If you are not my church member, it's not free. The other thing, Pastor, I'm happy, safe. You will meet me in front. When your church has certain rules and they have training periods or they have counseling periods, follow the rules. I don't know where this generation gets this thing from. Where you think you know it all. Do you know, someone was saying the other day that, this one, they were talking about counseling. Our parents, did they have counseling and their marriage lasted? Our parents had counseling. How many times did you see your aunties come to the house and your mother gather them and say, that's not how they do. When a man, they respect your husband. That's counseling. It's not until they put pastor on your mother's head. That's counseling. Your auntie is coming and she's crying, auntie, my husband, I say, that's not how they behave. You too, how did you talk to me? That's counseling. So they always had counseling. Counseling has always been. Don't play with counseling. Till today, all the marriages that I have seen up close break. When I look at them, why did you not? There's always, they warned us. It's always in the end, they'll say, and they warned us. Listen to counseling. That's where there's safety. Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Let me read to you Proverbs 24, 3 to 6, Message Translation. It says, it takes wisdom to build a house and understanding to set it on a firm foundation. It takes knowledge to furnish its rooms with fine furniture and beautiful draperies. It says, it is better to be wise than strong. Intelligence outranks muscle any day. And it says strategic planning is the key to warfare. To win, you need a lot of good counsel. For you to win in marriage, you need counsel. You can't do it on your own. There's no secret. All the secret, don't let anybody know. You know, I'm a very private person, so I can't post you on social media. Let me tell you. Don't let anybody toast you in private. Do you understand? Let them toast you and your pastors. I tell my daughters, I say, you are the one in love, I'm not in love. Pastor, I don't understand. I'm not tripping for him. Sir, what do you do? I'm actually in toilet. Sir, what do you do? Where is your office? How much do you earn? Can you take care of her? When you don't get cough, where you know get cough? Counsel. Let me tell you, one of the reasons why so many people are in trouble today is because they think they know it all. That's the first step to destruction. Pride. Pride. When nobody can advise you, nobody can talk to you, you can't ask anybody. And you see, women don't get caught into this. And I know it looks like I'm always talking to women. But it's because, you see, I believe that a woman determines the outcome of a marriage. I think you are the one that will accept the man. Anybody can toast you. You are the one that determines who you marry. Nobody marries at gunpoint. It's not by force. If the man says, I like you, say, thank you, I don't like you too. Be going your own. God told me to marry you. Yes, sir, but he has not told me. And God is not a gossip. Thank you, sir. Be going your own. See, there's no fight in this matter. It's when women come to me and say things like, oh, but he said God told him so. Anybody can claim to hear anything. But the God that I serve is not a gossip. If it concerns me and you, God will tell me and you. So don't do all those. You see, people, we have it as in church. So let's not let anybody know. Let me tell you, there are people in church, because we're not all Israel that are in Israel. There are people in church. Some people say it's uncensored. There are people in church that, because there are multiple services, they have different girls in multiple services. They are running maximum operation. Do you understand? They have girlfriend in first service. They have the one in second service. The one third service. And then he will tell each girl, I like to focus on God, so I don't like to sit near anybody. No, you'll be distracting me with your beauty. You too, Mumu. You are feeling like you are beautiful. So you don't want to sit with him. Then he'll go and sit somewhere else. So that the girl he's dating, he has told that one too. He has told you. So you're like three in the service. In each service, he has nine girls the guy is controlling. Because you say, oh, he sings in the choir. It's a gift. It's a gift. It has nothing to do with whether somebody is spiritual or not. It has nothing. There's a difference between gift and fruit. He says, by their fruit you shall know them, not by their gift. So he can preach a good message, he can sing, he can do anything he wants to do. He can do anything, he can reach and raise hand and everybody falls under the anointing. Is it his anointing? Is it not Jesus' anointing? And God has only flood vessels. So it is the one that is available he will use. And you are telling me that's why you want to marry him. Is it the gift you marry or the person? When you reach us, you sing a song, you go tell they talk to you. Where my food? You think he will sing to you? Character. So when your pastors are telling you, slow down. If your counselors are telling you, stop. If your parents are saying, look well. Don't say, mommy, you don't understand. You're not in this generation. Mommy, you don't get it. Counsel. And don't just ask for counsel. Take counsel. Because a lot of people just want people to talk to, but they don't want to receive counsel. They're telling you, stop. There's, I don't know if I should say it, but I will say it. Don't beat me. There's one couple that I'm waiting for in front. I'm waiting for them. I'm waiting for them. They're in a relationship. They wanted to get married. Somebody now came to report that, oh, brother is running things, so you are more than one. And they told auntie, and auntie said, no problem, they will get married. After they get married, they will pay for counseling. That's like saying, and you know, my husband said this analogy and he almost broke my head. As in, I was amazed by the wisdom. He said, that's like saying that because they're at orthopedic hospital, you go and break your leg. That's exactly what that girl is doing. That she will pay for counsel, so that's why she will marry a cheating man. Nobody said don't marry her. They say take your time and let's look at the situation together. Let your counselors. This is the same thing. We've had couples like that. Counselors will tell you, slow down. Don't do this. Don't go. Wait, let's go. Then you come back and say, what are you crying about, sir? What are you crying about, auntie? These are the things that you were warned about before you entered my... Take counsel. Take counsel. Tell your neighbor, take counsel. The third mistake, not being accountable. You see this one, eh? I'm not just talking about having mentors. You know those ones that I say, who is your mentor? I say, and I don't know when men want to say rubbish, they'll first clear their truth. I don't know. Who is your mentor? I don't really submit to anybody, but I read John Maxwell's books. I read all of us. John Maxwell is our mentor. There's nobody. Is John Maxwell not your mentor? It's my mentor. But can John Maxwell pick up? I may know him. Does he know me? Can you say I'm misbehaving now? You call John Maxwell and say, but somebody is misbehaving. No. There must be somebody that they are accountable to. And let me tell you, especially ladies, are there single ladies in the house? Yeah. Please draw your two ears. I want to see you draw the two, not one and a half. If your earring fall, let it fall. It's better to have ear without earring than no ear. If a man does not have anybody's accountable to, run for your life. What did I say? Because a time will come when his head will be touching. And I guarantee you to touch at least once or twice in marriage. There must be somebody that will tell him that thing you are doing is bad. Go and sit down. Don't do it again. Go and apologize to your wife. Don't do it again. There must be somebody. You can't marry a man who is a lord unto himself. You can't marry a man that will isolate you from everybody. All of a sudden now you don't know anybody anymore. And I see this happen so many times. You must have somebody you're accountable to. Let me tell you, what makes a difference? It's not that you don't know what to do, it's that you need somebody to make you do it. Do you think I don't know what I need to do to be a size 12? I know now. I know. In fact, not only do I know, I've done it before. The only reason why I was successful before was that I had somebody I was accountable to. When I wake up in the morning, I would do exercise and send her my sweating picture. Do video of myself skipping. And do video of the 1,000 on the skipping rope. Then after that, I will snap my food and send it to her. Breakfast. Lunch, I will send it. Then I will snap how many bottles of water I have drank during the day. I did that for 6 months. I lost weight. I became size 12. Only that Pastor Kate did not allow me to be great. Next week, I was pregnant. But let me tell you, I know what to do. The only reason why you are not successful is that you don't have somebody you are accountable to. Why did I become this size again? Because when I wake up in the morning, nobody's asking me, have you exercised? I'm tired. When I wake up, me and myself will advise ourselves that you are tired, just sleep. After all, now fat, you no keep person. I will lie down back. I will carry water. I'll say the water person go, they drink water. I say, wait till be this. Water no sweets now. Please let me put small nutrition inside. In short, just bring Fanta. Before you know it, that's it. Because nobody is there to say, ma, what are you doing? Ma, don't drink that thing. Or somebody just snatch it from my. Why are you drinking? You're drinking Coke. Are you serious? Are you somebody saying that, dragging it into? It's not that we don't know what to do. But you need somebody that is accountable. I'm not saying that the man you want to marry does not have sense. I'm just saying sometimes he will forget. So you need somebody that can pick up the phone and say, have you taken your wife? I mean, my husband does it for a lot of men. He has men on his WhatsApp that he mentors. He just said, have you taken your wife for date night this weekend? When he's advising them like that, I'm only singing in the background because I know date night is coming. Because, sir, you have to practice what you preach, sir. Uh-huh. And those women on that end, the only reason why they're getting all they want is because somebody's coaching their husband. Somebody's accountable. And when the men are misbehaving, you will see messages on my husband's phone. So when I just say, sir, I just say, I know one person, husband don't default now. They go soon call him. Accountability. It's not that we don't know what to do. We need somebody. Do you think you don't know that fornication is bad? Why are you pretending? Your pastor is not looking at you. I'm the only one that can see your faces. We all know it's, don't you know it's bad? It's bad. It's bad. But the only reason why you want to go and collect that textbook in that boy's house is because Pastor Fumi does not know. If as you are going there, you call Amma, I'm going to collect his book in so-so-so and so brother's house. She will tell you, don't do what? And even if you didn't call her when you were going, you called her when you got there, she will tell you to turn back. That's the, see, and after, you know, I always tell people that, if God, you see, another person that you be accountable to that will change your life is the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit becomes very real to you, your life will change. Because you see, Pastor Fumi may not be able to be with you in that boy's house. In fact, you may push everything out and not tell her. Or you, in fact, maybe even call her, she's busy, she didn't pick the call. So only you and that boy know that you're coming to visit him to collect his book that they did not send you. When you get there, if you can imagine Jesus sitting between two of you, you will not kiss him. When he just does his hand like this, like as he wants to put his hand like this, and he imagines Jesus looking at him, that guy, where you want to put that hand now? Guy, where you want to put that hand? That hand where you want to put. You think I know me where put my hand for cross? What do you think I they do? My friend, bring that hand down. You will put it down. You will put it down. I'm telling you, you put it down. It's because you are not accountable. The Holy Spirit has become a figment of our imagination. It's only when we want to feel good pimples in church that we call on him. That's the only time we remember him. If you remember him, that he's consistently with you, you can't kiss that girl. Who give you mouth? Who give you mouth? Say you are. And even, you know, so, accountability, oh, let me tell you, saves everybody's life. Accountability in relationship, accountability in money, accountability in career. It will change your life. If every year when you have plans, you bring it to somebody that you are, like, is a mentor to you and say, these are the things I want to achieve this year, they will be asking you during the year. We What you don't do? How far? How far that thing? You say you won't write books. It's, what you don't write? Send it to me. Say, when you feel like somebody is even watching. You see, when I gave my life to Christ, I had so many people, I had some people following me up. And to be honest, at that time, one of the major reasons why I used to read my Bible was because they would ask you, what did you read in your Bible? I was a teenager. I was much younger. They would ask you, what did you read in your Bible? So you at least quickly read something. If not even for yourself. At least so that when they ask you, you have something to answer. But at least the word was entering. And if every day they ask you, say it's James 3 you read. Tomorrow they will ask you, not only James 3 day Bible. Go and read another thing. Somebody is holding you accountable. Did you pray today? How many hours did you pray? I say you didn't pray. Then they will now hold your hand and pray with you. They will not be praying in tongues. You know, the worst kind of prayer is the one they are praying with you. By first praying with you. That one is not intimacy prayer. Oh. It's not Jesus, I love you prayer. He say, God, get me out of this. And they're just warming up. And you know, say, there's no, even in the name of Jesus, not coming, it's not flowing. But accountability will keep you doing the things you need to do. So you are still sleeping around because you have not gotten anybody accountable to. Nobody has asked you, you have been dating this girl for 7 years. When is the wedding? There are not a lot of people. In fact, there are some people in church that basically say, you know what? If you don't give me a date next week, we'll join you here. We'll join you. Because we just sometimes, we just sacrifice our life. Just girls, we just give man. You give him 6 years, break up with this one. It's not serious. You go and start another 5-year journey. Then start another one. If it's education, won't you have gotten a PhD by now? Tell your neighbor it's uncensored. So she will tell you anything she needs to tell you. The fourth thing, and I think I'll round up with this one. Which one should I do? Thinking that marriage will be about how you feel. You know, when you're in a relationship, everything is rosy. In fact, when you're even doing your vows, I always laugh. Weddings are the most amusing things to me. Hi. When the I don't know how many of you seen that thing on social media, but it annoys me. I mean, but it's a personal thing, so it's not a rule in the Bible. But you know, a guy is standing at the altar and the girl is coming, and then the guy starts crying. I say, my brother, save your tears. This cry when they cried for waiting, I beg. He will not be crying. Then they will be giving their vows. I will bring you the moon and the stars. You are the love of my life. I promise you the heaven and earth will not be your own. I need a promise. And the girl will say, I will submit to everything. You will be my master, my lord, and my king. Tomorrow morning, honeymoon has not finished. So tomorrow morning, we tell you to go and bring tea downstairs. You say, is your aunt paying you? Is it not two of us that came back from work together? Your emotions will not always be there. Marriage is never going to be about how you feel. Never. It's not about your emotions. It's not about you. Especially if it's kingdom marriage. Kingdom marriage is about Jesus. It's never about you or your spouse. Never. It will consistently be about Jesus. You keep reminding yourself. I'll say my husband today. I'll say one of the things that I think makes marriage work. In fact, two things, and I say this all the time. When you are getting married, there are two things you must take into marriage, whether you are male or female. You see, you must enter marriage with Jesus. And you hold Jesus in one hand, your predominant hand. If you are right-handed, hold Jesus with your right hand. If you are left-handed, hold your left hand. But you hold Jesus. The second one, you go in with your joy. You know why? Because your partner was not created to make you happy. That's not their job in marriage. That's why a lot of people are offended. Because they think that, oh, he made me feel good before we got married, so he should continue making me feel good after marriage. That's not his assignment in life. Nobody was created to make you happy. That's not their job. You enter marriage with your joy and your Jesus. And when I mean your joy and your Jesus, see, you have to be focused on why you are in this marriage. My marriage is worship to God. I love my husband, but he's not my primary motivation. Jesus is my motivation for everything I do. That's why even if he annoys me, I am here. We die here literally till death do us part. Literally, I'm not going anywhere. There's nothing he can do again. It's over. Do you understand? I have sacrificed to Jesus. I understand that my assignment in this marriage is to help this man be everything that God has called him to be. And that's his assignment to me too. To help me to be everything God has called me to be. Are we doing it for each other? No. We're doing it for Jesus. That's what keeps you there. He's the, you see, he's, that's why people can say, I'm done and leave. You can't leave. You know why you can't leave? Because two of you may be upset, but the third person that two of you called, he was on his own, JJ, when you called him that come and be witness to our marriage and be the third person in our marriage, and you now say you are done. You can't be done if he's not done. I'm angry, I'm not doing it again. Hey, Munko, we're three now. So three of us must be in agreement. So I most times when people tell me they want to work here in their marriage, I say, have you asked the Lord? They can't answer me yes. Because if you ask him, except of course, threat to life. Covenant of life is greater than covenant of marriage. Except there's threat to life. You can't walk away. What is annoying you? Who is not annoying? Are you not annoying? Everybody's annoying. I don't like the way his family treats me. Mistake. I don't like the way our family treats me. Because once you get married, you are now one flesh. Meaning his mother is your mother. His sisters are now your sisters. So if they're not treating you well, it is your mother that is not treating you well. Not his mother. That's why we have problems in marriage. Because we don't understand marriage is covenant. Marriage is covenant. You don't get to do covenant by feelings. You do covenant by commitment. So don't ever make the mistake of thinking, oh, I don't feel. And that is, that's the craziest thing I hear in counseling. When people are ready to break their marriage, you start hearing, I don't feel, it doesn't make me feel the way I used to feel when we met. What has feeling got to do with marriage? Feeling has got nothing, absolutely nothing to do with marriage. Marriage is commitment. It has nothing. You will not always feel like. When I got married, I didn't look like this. I was slimmer, I was finer. 16 years of damage, this is it. But sir, you don't get to walk away. You did this, well, yeah. He didn't look like this too. I can't say, oh, he doesn't have six pack. Who they cook the food where they chop? We're here. We're here. But there has to be a bigger thing ahead of us. And the bigger thing is, what does God want from this marriage? We have gotten what we want. Children, sex, this, everything, money, wealth, prosperity, favor. We have gotten it. What does God want? Until God gets what he wants, we don't get to go. Were you blessed this evening? Yeah.